Welcome to the Ted Brewer Show. This is Ted Brewer with my co-host, Austin Brewer. My wife will be joining us today because most of the day I've been spending today prepping for the Hagman Show tonight. I will be on with Doug and Joe tonight for the full 3 hours from 7 to 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I've got about 40 new stories that I want to cover that I've not covered yet on this show, and I've got a bunch of stuff to cover. We're going to be going into detail. But one thing I want to say that's really interesting, and I've got to say this to start with. I've got to make this one comment. The Pope is now calling Donald Trump a non-Christian because he wants to put up a wall. Well, I got a news flash for you guys. I've been to the Vatican. I've been to Vatican City, and so has Austin. And they have guards everywhere. And most of Vatican City has a wall around it or locked doors. You do not have free access to the Vatican. You cannot walk into buildings, walk through the walls. You can't do any of this stuff. It's almost a big tourist attraction over there. You have to be monitored the whole time you go in. Now, I've got one comment to make about all of this. With up to 50% of the Catholic priests known pedophiles, and the Pope covering up all of the pedophilia, and not just this Pope, the Pope for generations upon generations, and allowing these priests to be transferred from one parish to another and continuing to molest and to rape little boys, I cannot believe that the Pope has said that Donald Trump is not a Christian with what's been going on with the Catholic Church. Nor can I believe that this Pope, who's involved in Operation Condor in South America and has been linked to hundreds of thousands of deaths in South America, when he used to take people out of the back of transport planes and put a couple hundred miles off the ocean and throw them out, that he's been linked to that. He was the one who was involved in doing that. And now because Donald Trump wants to build a wall. No, I'll tell you what it is. The Vatican Bank, the New World Order, the Bank of England, the Rothschild Banking Cartel, the Federal Reserve Bank, all of these people that are involved in this globalist takeover of this country have basically conspired together to do this to the population of the planet. And now everybody's panicking and running scared because Donald Trump is saying, I'm not going to put up with this junk anymore. I am done with it. I've had enough of it. So therefore, I'm not going to put up with this unbridled immigration flooding into the country. And now they're coming out with this report today that they're doing exactly what I warned everybody about with the delegate count with Trump, and how they're going to use the delegate and the nomination process to cheat Trump out of this nomination with the Republican Party. And I guarantee if he does, Trump's probably going to run on an independent ticket, and if that happens, we're going to get Hillary for the presidency. That's going to be a nightmare. And I hope and pray that he sues the GOP to start with to stop this mess so it doesn't turn into another big brouhaha fight on the floor of the Republican National Convention. But those are the comments that I wanted to make today. And Austin and Sharon will be taking the show over right now. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you tonight on Hagman and Hagman. Here's my wonderful wife, Sharon.
Hey, Austin. How you doing?
Hey, doing good. You lined up on the phone?
I'm lined up.
Okay, well, I wanted to start off, too, with a Bible verse today. Dad always does that on the show, and I like doing that. And there's one particular that I've always liked. It's very popular, but it's always been one that I feel adds a lot of peace, calmness, but also strength. And it's just a very good Bible verse. It's Psalms 23 till verse 6. And it is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I've always liked that Bible verse, and I wanted to start off with that because he does that on the show, so I figured I'd do that.
That really, it says it all. But you know what's so crazy, Austin, is when it says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," and that means walk. That means you're walking through it. That means you're going to not stay in it. You're going to walk through it. And some people, they want to set up camp in the valley of the shadow of the death.
I know.
The words
we run into
speak,
people like that.
Yeah, the words they speak, that they seem to have a black cloud. Because, and another thing, people always say, "Well, yeah, I seem to have a black cloud following me around." You know, people that things are just continually going wrong. And if they would just consider the words they're speaking. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and the frequency around them. And they don't have to stay in the valley. They can get out of the valley by their words, by their actions. And one other thing is discipline. Discipline in their health. Discipline in their lives. Because, you know, it takes work to be disciplined, Austin. It takes work to discipline your mouth. It takes work to eat healthy. It takes work to discipline your children. It's a lot easier and a lot more comfortable and a lot less work just to not do it, not to be coachable, not to be disciplined. And with discipline and speaking the right words and keeping the positive frequency in your life and surrounding yourself around with people that are positive, you're not going to have to stay in that valley.
No, you're incredibly correct on that. And the thing, you know, that I always find odd, and this is interesting because I was out with Lana having dinner the other day. Actually, it was lunch. And we ran into a friend of ours that was serving there, and he's got a job here, and he's starting another job. And it's interesting because he's always having issues, all kinds of issues on the back end. I'm not going to get into all of it. But, you know, he came up, and we started talking to him, and it wasn't 30, 40 seconds into the conversation. He started telling us about it. He had to go to court for this, for his daughter and the woman that he had a kid with, and he's broke again, and doesn't have any money for this, and just complaining. And, you know, I thought to myself when he walked off, and I told Lana, I said, does it seem like every single time we run into them, they're constantly complaining? They always have a problem. They always have a black cloud. They always say how bad finances are all the time. And it's interesting, nothing ever changes. And like you just said, Mom, the words that you speak are such a powerful influence in our lives and everyone around us. It makes such a huge difference on what it does and how it changes everything. So, yes, that's definitely a very good point. First article I wanted to start off with today, this is interesting, and this really, really brings it home as far as on why it's so important to raise your kids correctly and raise them in a Christian background and have them in a godly Bible-preaching church and teach them. This is in the UK now. A homework assignment given to school children asked 13-year-olds to write a letter to their parents explaining why they are converting to Islam. Lest boot camp high school in the UK ask kids, complete the letter you started planning in this class to your family on how you convert to Islam. Include how you're feeling, how becoming a Muslim has changed your life, how much you love your family, and hope they can accept your choice. And, I mean, they were met with public outrage from all the parents there. And, you know, and at the very bottom of this thing, it said, please, this is a creative writing and completely fictional. You are not actually converting to Islam. And one guy said it so well. He goes, Islam is complete divorce from reality. He goes, even if this is just an exercise to test the pupil's knowledge, it is not something that should be acceptable to any parent, both of those who have religious beliefs of their own. For secular parents who may have issues with the corrosive influence that Islam has on non-Islam societies. And we saw this, you know, in Austria last month. They had 10-year-olds changing the word God and substituting it for Allah in their Christian hymns. Mom, how important is it to make sure you keep your kids grounded in the Word, and if you can possibly homeschool them and keep them out of this secular propaganda school system that's basically encroaching on everybody's lives now?
Well, to me, it's one of the most important things. It's up there with keeping them healthy and giving them the right food. But, you know, the problem is, Austin, is the mind control at a certain age. You may know the age, but at a certain age, up to a certain age, these kids are so impressionable that this mind control is so subtle that they say, this is an exercise, this is that, just like asking them what sex are they, what gender are they, and then they give them a choice. It's total mind control, it's total manipulation, and I just get so frustrated because I think about the generation. I mean, we've got you, 27 years old, then we have a 10-year gap with a 16-year-old, then a 15-year-old, then a 14-year-old, and, you know, Austin, your generation didn't really even have cell phones. You really are the last generation that really hasn't been bombarded with all this cell phone, internet, pornography. I mean, it was starting up when you were young, but but you are like right on the edge of having to deal with all this. And now, like our other children that are younger, it's horrible. And back to having them in a Christian environment, they've got to know where their roots are. If you're a Christian, they need to be in a Christian church. They need to be around Christian kids. They need to be getting the word at home. And the church is not responsible for teaching your children how to be a Christian. The church is there to support you. The church is there for you to go and get fed and charge your batteries once or twice a week and fill any other needs you may have. But it's a parent's responsibility, if you're a Christian parent, to raise your children in the way they should go. Just like it's not the school's responsibility, it's the parents'. And parenting is a challenge. Parenting takes a lot of responsibility. But I decided a long time ago, before I even was a parent, that I was going to raise champion children. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've learned a lot. Unfortunately, the kids don't come with manuals. But what I do know is if you're led by the Holy Spirit and you seek His face every day, He's going to be there with you. He's going to help you. And it's so important, if you mess up, to ask your kids to forgive you. They've got to see that we mess up. They've got to see by our examples. And we've got to quit saying, well, we're not going to go to church because they did this and they did that and they're this and they're that. Well, you know, anybody can think up reasons not to do something. But if anything, go for your children and get them in a good youth group. Get them in a good social environment, so they're around like-minded kids. And I know the UK, I mean, when we were over there just recently, I mean, like London isn't even London anymore. I actually was raised in England, up in Northamptonshire. And when I was younger and I had a British accent, came to the States, tried to change it to Southern because the kids made fun of me in school. But the thing is, London is more like a Muslim city. It's Muslim. I mean, I very few British people. It's crazy, Austin.
No, it is. And we've discussed it many times on the show the last couple of months, and now this massive influx of millions of refugees out of Syria and all the parts of the Middle East are not making it any better. What's interesting, too, is you were talking about as far as cell phones. I had an article here that I was reading earlier, and, you know, more and more studies are coming out now that the artificial light that these iPhones, computers, all this stuff have effect on your circadian rhythm. And they said one of the biggest issues is not necessarily being on the computer or being on the phone in the daytime, because you're still exposed to natural light through windows, going outside, and so forth. They said the biggest issue they're starting to see now is people being on their phone late into the night and how it completely messes up melatonin. This is from Brian Zoltowski, lead assistant professor in SMU's Department of Chemistry and lead blue light researcher. He states, as a society, we're using more and more technology, and there's increasingly evidence that this artificial light has a negative consequence on our health. And he goes on to talk about how it completely messes up the circadian rhythm, which is basically a 24-hour cycle in the biochemical, psychological, and behavior process of all living entities on Earth, plants, animals, fungi, bacteria, everything. And what nobody takes into account is that their circadian clocks are, you know, basically located in the brain. And another study that came out from Harvard also recommended that you leave the computers, TVs, and phones at least 2 to 3 hours before going to bed. And multiple other studies now have reported associations of abnormal circadian rhythm with depression, bipolar, obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and also seasonal affective disorder. Now, that's the one that they talk about, especially a lot of times up in Alaska, where during the winter season, a lot of times people get real down and real depressed. Now, the lighting aspect could obviously have a direct impact on that, but another reason, too, why a lot of people don't understand that, and I've worked with multiple customers, and they've come back and told me it works great, especially when you're in a state that doesn't have a lot of light, if there's not a lot of sun for months and months out of the year, like towards the northern states and Alaska, Florida, we don't really have that issue here, except for the massive bombardment of chemtrail spray on a regular basis. But as far as people up north that are in the snow flurries all the time, is vitamin D3. It's essential for your health in almost every aspect of your body. You need to be on at least 5 to 10,000 IUs of vitamin D every day, especially during the winter months. I had a lady that lived up in Alaska a few months ago. She's a real good customer of ours. She was just having constant issues of being down. She called me. She said, I'm always tired. You know, I'm taking multivitamins from up here, and she wanted to get on some different stuff. And I said, well, the biggest thing you got to start hitting is the D3 on a regular basis. And she did. And she called me up a month later, and she's like, you wouldn't believe how much more energy I have. She goes, within the first week, I started feeling better. She goes, by the second week, I was going outside and doing stuff with a flashlight, getting stuff done around the house, even when it was dark. She goes, guys, I had so much more energy. Now, Mom, I know you take a ton of different vitamins every day, too. Would you say that D3 is definitely one of the most important supplements that you take on a daily basis, aside from the magnesium? I know you like that as well.
Oh, absolutely, and also the potassium iodine. But the thing is you know, I'm constantly, you know, kids, have you taken your vitamins? You take your vitamins, because not only that, the D3 keeps the immune system so
yep.
high, and we are just around so many people that have colds or the flu and, you know, all these different things going around. And it's just, you've got to, everybody, I believe, needs to be on the D3, but also you've got to have your children on it too, especially if they're in the school or activities after school. It's so important.
Yes, it definitely is. And another one too, this is another study that came out now. A lot of people are starting to hear more and more about it. We've talked about it for years. We carry a 100% non-GMO turmeric force, which has the curcumin in it. Turmeric is one of the most thoroughly researched plants in existence today. You can look it up, turmeric, T-U-R-M-E-R-I-C. We've talked about it numerous times. Its medical properties and components have been the subject of over 5,600 peer-reviewed and published biomedical studies. 5,600. That's how important this compound is. In fact, now there was a 5-year-long research project now on this plant that has now revealed over 600 potential preventative and therapeutic applications, as well as 175 distinct beneficial psychological effects. And this was written by Jai Sayer. He came out with this, and there's all kinds of different stuff that it can do and prevent in place of. Now, again, if you guys are taking medication, you need to discuss that with your doctor before coming off any of that. But we've had so many good results with turmeric. From Atlanta's talked about it before with her allergies. She used to have significantly bad problems with allergies all the time. She started taking heavy doses of turmeric last year, completely knocked them out. I know, Mom, I think you used the turmeric in conjunction with the magnesium as far as for the soak on your hands, didn't you?
Yes, I take turmeric every single day as an anti-inflammatory agent. But one thing about Lana with her allergies, ever since I've known Lana, every February her eyes would just almost swell up. She'd have to take her contacts off and wear glasses. So every February she's got her glasses on in any pictures we take, because her birthday's in February. And I noticed that last February she wasn't wearing her glasses, and this year she's not wearing her glasses. I said, Lana, this is incredible. She goes, you have no idea until you've had allergies this bad what it's like to be able to not have your eyes watering and your nose running. And the main thing that has really helped her is the turmeric. So I'm just so happy for her. Also, I take the turmeric, like I said, for anti-inflammatory properties. And I had really had swollen hands from going out and pulling weeds one day. We'd lost our yard man and pulled weeds till my hands were swollen. Now, that was stupid, you know, and I paid the price. But it was like an overuse injury, and the swelling really didn't go down that much, but the pain is totally gone now. And it's because I take the topical magnesium, and I soak in the magnesium salts every day. Sometimes I'll even soak in the bathtub, but we got one of those foot soaks from Amazon, and we soak every day faithfully. And my spinal stenosis that I had is just almost gone. I mean, the pain that I used to have to deal with in my back from, I was a very, very competitive athlete with jumping horses and then open karate. And, you know, if you're going to play, you're going to pay. And I know that, you know, I had a lot of abuse from the athletics on my body. But the thing is, when you get into your 50s, you're thinking, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? I want to keep going as strong and as fast as I can and not really miss a step. And I was really kind of getting down, because I thought I was going to have to do that. And the magnesium has made such a difference that I won't miss it for one day. If we go to Europe or go to Germany to visit Ted's relatives, man, I'm taking my salt with me. I'm not going to miss it. It's just, and everybody knows, if you've had back issues or joint issues, if you can do something to relieve it naturally, because I refuse to take any drugs because I know what the side effects are. But when you can find something to relieve it naturally, I mean, you're just praising God for it.
Yeah, oh yeah, and we've probably had 100 plus customers now that have used the topical magnesium with great results as far as inflammation, with knee problems, with hand problems. And it's topical, guys. You don't even have to take a supplement. You don't even have to drink anything with it. You just soak your hands on it. You apply the oil to the areas that you desire, and it works great. And speaking of salt, the oral salt, this is interesting. Now, more and more articles now are coming out talking about don't go on a low-salt diet. You hear this all the time when people start having issues with blood pressure, issues with kidneys, issues with cholesterol. You've got to drop your salt. Then you've got to go on a no-salt diet. That's one of the worst things you can possibly do. Now, there's a huge difference between two different salts that you're taking in, but I want to read this to you real quick. Now, close to 6 million Americans have heart failure, while more than 870,000 cases are diagnosed each year. That's each year. Now, because heart failure is associated with fluid buildup, a low-salt diet is typically recommended. And I hear that all the time on the phone. They have an issue with their heart. They have an issue with blood pressure. Low salt. And the thought is excessive sodium causes your body to retain water. So the conventional thinking goes, drop the sodium or it may worsen the fluid buildup associated with heart failure. The problem is this is touted as fact all the time and nobody really understands the mechanism behind it. But in reality, you may want to think twice about slashing your salt intake, as more and more research now has linked it to an increased risk of death. This is interesting here. Researchers from Rush University Medical Center in Chicago followed more than 800 heart failure patients for an average of 3 years. This wasn't a little short-term study. This is 800 heart failure patients over 3 years. Both their health status and salt intake was analyzed and regularly recorded. It turned out that those following a low, low-sodium diet were 85% more likely to die or require hospitalization for heart disease compared to those who didn't restrict their salt intake. Among those restricting their salt intake, 42% died or were hospitalized for heart problems during the study, compared to only 24% of those that had no salt restriction. That's huge. That's almost double, guys. Almost double the amount of individuals either died or hospitalized during the study that were on low salt. The idea is sodium restriction leads to a contraction of the fluid volume in the body, and that turns on certain hormones to which they try to retain fluids in the body and may potentially accelerate the heart failure process, as that's what Dr. Rami Dukui says. Now, let me explain to you what he's saying here. And I learned this aspect as far as with bodybuilding, as far as getting ready for a contest. When you cut sodium out of your diet and you cut water out of your diet, your body automatically tries to retain as much fluid as it can because it thinks you're basically in the desert. You have no food, you have no water, so it tries to retain every single drop of fluid in your body. Salt or water goes the same way. So when you start cutting massive amounts of sodium out, sodium is needed for proper heart function. It's needed for proper brain function. It's needed for a vast array of different things in the body. So when you start cutting salt out, your body thinks you're basically in the desert with no salt. So it immediately tries to retain more water and more salt as much as possible. That's why when you start getting ready for a contest, you sodium load and you water load few days out, and then you cut those out right before the contest, before your body basically jumps back on and tries to make up for it. That's why it's so important that you keep a healthy dose of good salt. And this is basically what I'm going to get back here. The huge difference between natural mine salt, like the salt we carry in the one-pound bags here, or the Himalayan salt, and the processed salt added to processed foods and salt shakers among home restaurants is, it's completely different. The bleached sodium that you basically get is void of all minerals, of all nutrients. It usually contains multiple different toxins, including aluminum, from the drying beds that they dry the salt out in from a lot of the chemtrail spray and environmental toxins. our salt that we carry comes from mineral-rich deposits that are formed under an ancient sea in Utah. It's miles down where they mine this stuff, so it's never been exposed to any type of toxic elements. So you're getting all kinds of manganese, selenium, magnesium, sodium, everything in this salt, and it's a full mineral build. It's not just sodium. This stuff is awesome. We sprinkle it on the food. We cook with it. It tastes great, and I know, I mean, we've used it for years, and every time we've worked with customers that they've had issues with blood pressure and stuff like that, and they're on low-sodium diets, I immediately put them on this with a few other supplements we have, and this salt that we carry, the one pound organic mine salt, does wonders. And you cook all the time, Mom. I know. Can you tell a difference between regular store-bought old, you know, salt that we used to use and this mine salt that we've now used for the last couple of years?
Well, to show you how good this product is, I actually put it in a real one of those Ziploc bags, a small one, and I take it with me. If we go to a restaurant, or we go up to Yalaha's or wherever we go, I take the salt with me, and I miss it if I don't have it. Yes, there's a big difference. Yes, this stuff is full of minerals. The flavor is amazing, and I'm pretty much a natural gourmet cook. I mean, we've been doing this for 30 years. I just, you know, this is what I do, and people just are amazed at the difference when they come over, because I'm constantly cooking for people all the time. And it has a pink color to it. It just, there is no comparison. And then you get like the Morton salts or the bleach salts or all that. They taste, I guess the only thing I could really compare it to would be like a cafeteria type food. You know, the mass production, and you know, the vegetables taste like they've been washed in chlorine and all that. But that's what the white salt tastes like to me.
Well, it's definitely a huge difference, and it's interesting too. I mean, on another health topic, Dad and I discussed yesterday how they did a study now on a bunch of different cheeses, and they're finding that like almost 10% of the cheeses now are cellulose, or basically wood pulp content. They were finding that in the Great Value Walmart 100% grated Parmesan, and also another one from Jewel Osco. They were like 8.8% cellulose. So I just wanted to reiterate to our listeners on that. Make sure you guys are getting certified organic Parmesan cheese, real Parmesan cheese. This cheap stuff that you buy at the store, you're not even getting mostly decent Parmesan. It's usually just the cheapest of the cheap, and now, like, we find almost a tenth of it is wood pulp cellulose that they're adding to it just to basically fill content and size.
I want to say something about the cheese, though, because I listen to y'all's show every day. I'm probably your best fan, but I really enjoy that about the cheese, because I know your father had ended up with a cheese allergy. You know, he went and had an allergy test just to make sure he wasn't allergic to anything. And he was real high on the cheeses. Well, we noticed we'd been going to this one Colombian restaurant that had really good food. But when he had the cheese, he'd come home and his arms would just itch and he'd be scratching them. He goes, oh, no, it must be a cheap cheese. Well, the cheese I buy is really good. It's organic. It's raw. It's really good cheese. I know one good brand you can buy is Organic Valley. That's pretty easy to find in a lot of grocery stores. But I'll pay extra money for good cheese. So he can eat cheese at the house, really good cheeses, and he doesn't itch at all. So that shows you also the artificial color, the red dyes in these cheeses, the sawdust. But I have before had, which I really don't like buying my groceries at Walmart, but when I've been in a pinch, this is years ago, I remember getting a shredded cheese. In Austin, it was like rubber. It didn't cook right. It didn't melt right. It was just, it was a synthetic. And
yep.
I'm just so thankful that we know what we know. And if you're not the one that prepares your food, share this with your wife or your husband, whoever prepares your food, and just share all this stuff with people, because the information we're giving you, we don't just talk about world events. We talk about life. We talk about relationships. We talk about eating right, food, all kinds of things. It's because we care, and we're a three-dimensional being. And a lot of these stories, you know, you think, oh, this stuff's so negative. Your father asked me to talk about this today, Austin. Years ago, he'd be reading a lot of information about alternative news and what's going on in the world. I said, Ted, I don't want to hear that. It's too negative, because I'm a super positive person, and I don't want to put that in my brain. Well, what I was realizing, and I was reading the scripture one day, and it said to get wisdom, but more important, get understanding. And that hit me like a lead balloon. Okay, I want wisdom, and with wisdom, I want much understanding. So having wisdom and learning about the alternative news and accepting that, you know, this stuff is going on, it's really happening, and don't look at it as negative, but think of it as, I'm wise, I'm learning about what's going on, but also I'm going to get an understanding of it and not walk by fear. This isn't a show to put people in fear. This is a show of information. And if you walk by faith and totally know that God, our Creator, is going to take care of us if we follow His commandments and do His will, and life will be great for us, we just have to realize there's going to be valleys, there's going to be mountains, but the thing is, when it all comes out, we've got the victory, and we can't look at this stuff as so-called negative, but just information that we need to know, but realize we walk by faith, and we're not putting fear in anybody.
Amen.
I know we were talking about the cheese, Austin, and I got off this. I wanted him to do with the cheese. But.
No, it was really well said. It is, and it's important, because I've had that happen a lot, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners right now that are listening have had the exact same thing. You know, you try and talk to family members, you try and talk to friends, and then, I don't want to hear that. That's negative. That's negative. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the overall gist of what's going on really isn't positive. There's quite a few negative things going on in the world. But on the other hand, too, are you going to be an ostrich where you're just going to poke your head in the sand and say, I don't want to hear it, don't tell me, I don't want to see it, nothing to see here, keep walking on? Or are you going to say, yeah, I understand that's going on, I see this going on, but I'm going to retain my faith in God Almighty, and I'm also going to be led by, you know, wisdom and understanding, and make sure that I'm prepared in the future for things that might happen to me or my family. And I understand it. That doesn't mean you need to walk in fear every day. Oh, my gosh, the sky may fall today. Oh, my gosh, an asteroid may hit. Oh, a nuke may go off. Listen, all those things, if they happen, they happen. Worst thing that happens. You die? Well, then it just gets great for us that are saved, because it's way better once you die. So it's not an issue of that. But understanding that, you know, we're here for a short period of time, and we need to do the best that we can while we're here. And if that means while we're here, if a catastrophe happens, if something happens, we need to be prepared. I mean, just like with Joseph in Egypt, you know, there's 7 years of grain and there were 7 years of famine. He prepared for that. Nobody said, oh, you're a fearmonger, you're storing grain. No, it's a good idea when something looks like it might happen in the near future to store essential elements of life. And that's food, that's water, and that's shelter. And that's just quite frankly, that's just common sense. And for some reason, as Americans now, everybody's gotten so dumbed down to think, like, you don't need that. You don't need to have any backup water or filters or food. You know, the government will help you. Or you have the ones that basically are full-blown 100% rapture. And I'm not knocking the rapture. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. But what I'm saying is the individuals that use that as an excuse and a standing block to say, well, I'm not going to get prepared. I don't need to be healthy. I don't need to have anything. I don't need any food. I don't need any water because God's going to rapture me as soon as anything bad happens. Well, you need to talk to people that survived World War II. You need to talk to the boys that had to go over to Vietnam. You need to talk to the guys, you know, in the Coliseum that were fighting for their lives. I'm sure a lot of those guys would have liked to have been raptured. And that's just a simple gist of it. If it happens, that's great. But I'm not going to base my entire life on that very thin theology that God's going to shoot us all up to heaven. Because my question is, if God shoots us all up to heaven as soon as something bad happens, who's going to stay down here to get the rest of the people saved? Who's going to be down here to witness? Who's going to be down here to hand out Bibles? Who's going to be left if we all just shoot up to heaven and everybody down here is left to fend with the devil and the Antichrist? Nobody. So, I mean, that is our job. That's our position. When it happens, it should be your calling to say, hey, when it happens, I'm here to help you. I'm here to, you know, mentor you. I'm here to give you advice. I'm here to give you, you know, biblical wisdom that I've learned. I want to share it with you and try and instill the same, you know, wisdom and faith and peace and calmness that I have through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we're here to do when a lot of stuff goes down. Not to all pretend we're going to get raptured and go up to heaven in a split second so everybody else can fend for themselves down here. I'm sorry, I'm ranting on that now. It's just something I just wanted to get off my chest. I've been hearing a lot of that lately. Another article here, and this is about Splenda. Now, I've repeatedly talked about Splenda. Dad has repeatedly talked about aspartame. Splenda is an incredibly toxic substance. And there's an article here, the beginning of it, I love it. He says, if you were told to ingest a biologically alien synthetic chemical whose presence on this planet did not predate 1976 and whose structure is only a few atoms away from the deadly pesticide DDT, and you knew that not only were there no long-term human safety studies performed on it, but that it had already been proven in tests to have adverse health effects, what would you do? Would you still consume it? Of course not. You wouldn't consume it. And what I'm speaking about here is sucralose. This is one of the most widely used sweeteners now on the market, especially in the bodybuilding community from what I've seen. It's completely out of control. It's in everything. It's in pre-workouts. It's in proteins. It's in post-workout shakes. It's in protein bars. 98% of the everything on the market now has sucralose in it in the weightlifting industry. And despite the intended insinuation of sucralose, oh, it's made from sugar, that's why it tastes like sugar. No, that's garbage. Sucralose is not a form of sucrose, which is cane sugar. Sucralose or Splenda is produced through artificially substituting three hydroxyl groups, hydrogen and oxygen, with three chlorine atoms in the sugar molecule. It is not natural. And I keep telling people this over and over and over again, especially workout people that I know, and nobody wants to listen to me. Listen, guys, we have multiple options for this if you don't want to put this incredibly toxic chemical in your body on a daily basis. Protein powder. We have our Fit Food protein, which is our New Zealand whey protein, extremely clean. We also have our Whey to Go protein. Neither one of those have sucralose in them. The Whey to Go, we use beet juice sugar. With the Fit Food, we use we have stevia. That's what it is. Then we also have a great pre-workout supplement, which I love, is the HGH Stimulate stacked with the Purple Sticks. Gives you a good nitric oxide pump with a little bit of caffeine from the green tea. And there you have it. We also carry a pure German creatine by itself if you want to use creatine. A few years ago, actually it was more than a few years ago now, back when I really started to get heavy into the weights, there was a product on the market. I don't want to tell you the name because most of you probably know what it is. But it was an intra-workout. You drink it basically while you work out. And it had creatine, a bunch of different amino acids. Pretty good product as far as what it did. It definitely helped pack muscle and a lot of water on you, but it really helped to recover during the workout and into the post-workout. But it was loaded with sucralose. I mean, this stuff tasted like sugar. And I mean, like, it was sucralose on the main ingredient. And I kept using it, and I was getting good results as far as visually stimulating-wise, as far as size. But I noticed I started having really bad kidney pain. Like, and at first it was real mild, and I thought it was like back pumps from doing a lot of deadlifts. Well, it got worse and worse and worse. I brought it up to Dad, and he goes, what are you using? And I showed him stuff. He goes, this stuff's loaded with sucralose. He sent me all these articles on it. And I was like, no, that can't be it. So I was like, well, just because I'll come off of it for a couple days. So I came off of it for a couple days, dropped a couple pounds because I wasn't taking creatine anymore, which happens if you guys have used it before. And kidney pain went away. I was like, I've been drinking more water, been doing a little bit more cardio. So I was like, I'll implement it back in. Implemented it back in. First workout, I used it again. By the end of the workout, I was already having tremendous kidney pain. That is how toxic this stuff is. And if you guys want to say creatine's that toxic, it's not. I've had blood levels checked when I've been on creatine. My kidney values, my creatinine values are rarely anything except for perfection, even when I'm using creatine. So I know it wasn't creatine. It was directly related to the heavy sucralose I was using. You cook all the time, Mom. What are some good options that you know of that are really good in substitute of this toxic stuff that we call Splenda?
I love using coconut sugar. It's just got a really good flavor. But then, you know, when you're cooking, sometimes you need a replacement that bakes like sugar. And I will use xylitol sometimes. I don't use a lot of it. We use stevia. And you can also use applesauce, you know, people have been using that for years. But there's other things that you can use besides these toxic chemicals. You know, Austin, I remember you had someone working out with you one time, and you had said something about the Splenda being in their workout drink, and they were getting so much energy from it. And they said, oh, okay, well, I'm going to finish this one, you know, because I don't want to waste my money. But, you know, like you put it, if you want to put this poison in you and ingest this thing that's not even, you know, real, plastic, whatever it is, you know, why do we want to ingest that in our body? It's just, I guess I don't think like that.
Well, it's a chlorocarbon. Like I said, it's one step away from being DDT, which is a pesticide. And this is interesting. The findings of a study on a link between sucralose and cancer that caused uproar when they were presented at a cancer conference in 2013, they've finally been published almost 3 years later. The food industry completely dismissed the results of this study when they were presented in London. They're now available for the world to see in the peer-reviewed International Journal of Occupation and Environmental Health. This is interesting. In response to the study, the consumer group, the Center for Science and the Public Interest, is recommended that people avoid consuming sucralose, more popularly known as Splenda. The study found that sucralose administered in feed to Swiss mice at doses of 0, 500, 2,000, 8,000, and 16,000 parts per million from the beginning of their life until natural death induced a significant dose-related increased incident of malignant tumors in mice. And what's interesting is they go on to here to say that the findings did not support previous data that sucralose is biologically inert. I've talked about this on the show before. Sucralose does not break down. It is not bioactive. As far as if you throw it outside, it will not break down. It may sink down into the sand where you don't see it. It will not dissolve and it will not break down. It's like styrofoam. That's how toxic this stuff is. And the researchers found the significant dose-related incident of malignant tumors, particularly at the 2,000 parts per million and the 16,000 parts per million. And they also acknowledged that sucralose had incredibly alterations on the gut microbial. We've talked about this numerous times on the show. I just wanted to reiterate it again, help people understand that this is not something you want to use. You don't want to drink it in your sports drinks. You don't want to cook with it. And what's interesting, too, I don't have the article in front of me. Whenever it's heated, I think over 325 degrees, it completely changes form into an even more toxic substance and releases a vapor that can actually kill you from the chlorine atoms that are attached to it. It's just most people don't usually stick their head in the oven and huff when pies are cooking, I guess. So we've never seen any significant issues with it. But that's how toxic this stuff is. Another interesting article that's come out too now, researchers from both the UK and France have found that higher levels of aluminum inside of a male's body lower his natural sperm count and quality of the sperm. This was published in Elsevier Journal of Reproductive Toxicology. And they did a full test on here with almost 100 patients, and they found that this was completely confirmed. Aluminum, which can actually accumulate inside individual sperm cells, was found to be directly associated with damaged male fertility. Participants with low concentrations of sperm were found to have higher levels of detectable aluminum in their bodies, while those with low aluminum content had higher concentrations of healthy sperm in their body. There's a direct correlation between high levels of aluminum and low levels of sperm in the body in every single individual that they tested. And they said in the individuals with exceptionally high levels of aluminum, which was over 500 PBBs, these donors had the worst quality and quantity of sperm overall, illustrating an exceptional inverse relationship between the two. And what people don't understand, guys, is the aluminum cans you drink out of, the aluminum cookware you cook out of, all these childhood vaccines, all these flu shots, they all have aluminum adjuvants in them. The DTP, which is the tetanus, the diphtheria, and the pertussis, the pneumonia, the hepatitis, the anthrax, the HPV, the flu shots, all these contain actually really, really, really high doses of aluminum. And another study in 2012 from the Nigerian Quarterly Journal of Hospital Medicine observed similar damage when aluminum is consumed, rather than it cannot be easily eliminated from the body as it is often claimed. Aluminum was found to be accumulated in the brain, liver, and testicles, leading to chronic reproductive damage. How important, Mom, is it to stay away from a lot of these aluminum products, the cans, the cookware, especially the vaccines? I mean, I know you're pro stainless steel. Is that the best option as far as cookware?
Stainless steel and cast iron, there's nothing like, well, I'm from the South, but there's nothing like cast iron cooking in that. But, you know, Austin, you made me think back to many years ago when Dad had his clinic, and we had so many people coming in that were having fertility problems. And you always think it's the women. But I asked him recently, I said, you know, Ted, what's up with all these men having fertility problems, and these married men are losing their sex drives, and they have, it just, what is going on? And now you're talking about the aluminum. Well, the problem is it's everything. You add this and you add this and you add this into the diet, and it's just, it's becoming an epidemic. And, you know, we had some fertility problems when I tried to get pregnant, and we had lost quite a few babies, but the thing wasn't, it had nothing to do with your dad. I mean, he was fine in that area. But because of the shot that my mother had back in the 50s, it affected me, and I had to go on a lot of fertility shots. And because of that, I am so into antioxidants. I mean, if it's an antioxidant, I take it, because I'm going to stay healthy for a long time and it's not going to affect me. But men become infertile. They lose their sex drive. They don't know what to do. And I know we have a protocol, because a lot of times when I fill in at the office for Austin and Lana, I end up, for some reason, getting these calls, and I'm like, okay, are you married? And they'll say yes. And I said, oh, okay, well, let me tell you what you can do from a nutritional standpoint, and, you know, you and your wife will be a lot happier, and it might help as far as reproduction and, you know, y'all having kids and stuff like that. But I didn't, you know, I never really thought about the aluminum. It's all these other things that, you know, are going on with men, but especially the aluminum cookware, because particles of aluminum come out every time you cook. I don't know if people notice, over a period of time, the aluminum starts getting pitted. Well, you're absorbing that aluminum in your food every time you cook. And I know it's a hassle to try and clean scrambled eggs out of a stainless steel or cast iron pan, but you can get one of those plastic scrapers and scrape it. And there's, you know, there's things you can do, but don't do something that's bad for your health just because you're too lazy to do something else. Do it because it's the best thing for you. Because if you've got the knowledge, then you're accountable. If you don't have the knowledge, you're not accountable. But right now you're getting the knowledge, so you need to get rid of all that aluminum cookware. The deodorants we have no aluminum. It's real important, because that lymphatic system under the arms, even for men, is very, very permeable. And when you put the aluminum deodorant on, it's going right into your lymphatic system. I know these macho deodorants they have. I've got a 16-year-old. I've got to have this one because it's this, and it smells like this, and it makes me smell good and all that. I said, yeah, but you can't have aluminum. No aluminum. I'm not going to do that to my sons. And he'll say, well, pick me up this. I'm not picking it up. You go to the office, and you get what you know to get. So stay away from aluminum cookware, aluminum deodorants. There's aluminum in so many things, Austin.
Oh, I know. It's becoming more and more of an issue. I'm glad you brought up the aluminum deodorant, too, because that's one of the easiest things to cut out of your, you know, overall usage, because, like you just said, they've already had multiple research studies now that have directly linked aluminum deodorant to breast cancer in women, because you're applying that deodorant every single day right on the armpit with that entire lymphatic system exposed, and those little pieces of aluminum. If you guys haven't figured this out yet, have you ever wondered why it's an antiperspirant, how it clogs up your pores? Little microscopic particles of aluminum go into your pore, plug it up, and are later absorbed throughout the day. That's as basic as I can make it for you guys. That's why they put aluminum in antiperspirant deodorants. That's why if you find deodorants that don't say antiperspirant, majority of times they don't have aluminum in them. Now, there's a couple ones on the market. I think Old Spice makes some. If you guys are just bent on having to have one of these fancy, you know, smelling deodorants, there's a couple of them, like I said, that I know that don't have aluminum, but you've got to look at the label. If it's got aluminum dioxide, if it's got aluminum anything, if there's an ALUM anywhere on that, do not put it on your body, period.
Absolutely.
The ones we have the Tom's of Maine, which is the wood spice and all natural, and no, we don't carry them with aluminum. They are not antiperspirant deodorants. We also have the magnesium deodorant, which is the best one we have.
Hey, that Austin, way you're getting... excuse me, just real quick on the aluminum, the non-aluminum on the magnesium deodorant. I love that stuff. Now, I know some people say, well, that's a little strong under their arms, but of course you don't shave under your arms and then put it right underneath it. Do shave it at night and then put it on in the morning. But that, and I'm not just saying that, that is the best deodorant I've ever used, and I love it. And knowing that I'm putting it in that lymphatic area, not near the breast tissue, I mean near the breast tissue, and I'm not absorbing, I mean I'm actually absorbing magnesium that's helping me.
Yes, it's definitely an incredibly good seller, and we sell a lot of it. This article I wanted to touch on, this is from Tampa. The reason why I wanted to touch on it is because it's quite close to home. It's 45 minutes from here. And now before I go over this article, I want to let you guys know right now, if you get offended by me talking about this article, if you want to email me and say, Austin, we think you're a racist or a bigot, keep it to yourself, because I really don't want your email saying this, because I am as far from that as it gets. I have multiple black friends. I have multiple Hispanic friends. Actually, one of my best friends I went to college with is Puerto Rican. I was in his wedding last year, and I'm not at all like that. However, when I see people promoting racist themes overtly in the public, trying to make that okay, it really irritates me. And I'm really, really happy, and I'm proud of the Tampa police that they're doing this right now. The Tampa police, like I said, they're about 45 minutes from us. They are now turning down requests to work at Beyonce's concert, which is going to be at Raymond James in Tampa, after her racist, cop-hating display at the Super Bowl. Now, I did not watch the whole Super Bowl. I told you guys that. I was at my friend's house eating organic cheeseburger, and I didn't even stay for the halftime. I ended up hearing about it the next day, and I watched part of it online, and I didn't even want to watch a whole lot of it because it was just so much gay, just weird rhetoric. That's all it was, just massive, massive racist, cop-hating rhetoric. First off, if anybody noticed, all of Beyonce's dancers were black. She did not allow one single white person in there with any of her girl groups. She dressed them all in black power uniforms and raised a black power fist. Now, if you guys don't know your research a whole lot, the whole Black Panther group was basically a giant Marxist racist group. It was led by Huey Newton, who was actually arrested for shooting a police officer. And her cop-hating political statement she tried to make at the Super Bowl was so egregious to me that, I mean, I quite frankly don't even know how anybody could support her, even black individuals that are awake, because of how incredibly racist that entire Super Bowl theme was. And now I'm actually quite happy that the actions have consequences, though, as the police in Tampa are now turning down requests to work at her upcoming concert. Officers who are off duty over there basically agree to take work concerts, sporting events, extra stuff like that for extra income, and nobody has signed up to work security detail for her upcoming concert in April 29th.
Wow.
April 29th. That's, you know, we're talking like 2 months away at Raymond James Stadium. However, there are other off-duty security details after April 29th have already been activated and are getting people signed up for them. So this is not a date thing. Now, the Tampa police, they did not clarify if officers would be forced to work the concert or if officers already on duty might be reassigned to cover the concert. I'm sure as far as with traffic and stuff like that, that they're going to be required by law just from the state statute to monitor that. But I don't know if they're actually going to be forced to go inside there. But if anybody watched that and you didn't pick up on the massive racist cop-hating propaganda that she spewed in that Super Bowl thing, you really need to check yourself and wake up if you thought that was okay. But I'm quite proud of the Tampa police now that nobody wants to be a part of that. I mean, why do you want to go support a singer that is completely anti-cop, completely, you know, racist? I mean, especially like the same way I brought that article up about the Black Lives Matter. You know, all lives matter. All lives matter. Every heart and soul on this earth matters. And to sit there and try and bring yourself out into a secular group and say, no, we matter more because this happened to us. We matter. No, we all matter. We all matter. And that's what I just want people to understand, is that I'm tired of hearing about this and everybody always pulling the racist card when nothing's even racist. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. So I thought I'd address that just because nobody's really heard me discuss that yet, and I wanted to address that topic since it just came out. We got a few minutes left here, Mom, and there's one article I wanted to read left. This is from Swish Politicians. In the massive flurry of articles we've heard, even from Larry Summers and all these guys that are saying they want to abolish cash now, these individuals, two politicians in Switzerland, they're basically part of the Swiss People's Party. They're very, you know, right-wing conservatives. They came out and said, in this context, cash in itself is comparable to the service firearm kept by Swiss citizen soldiers. The pair argued in their motion, saying that both guarantee freedom. In France and Italy, already cash payments of only up to 1,000 euros are allowed, and the question of abolishing cash is being seriously discussed and considered all throughout Europe. The move toward electronic payments allows governments total surveillance over individuals. That pretty much sums it up with that, guys. That's as clear as it gets. They're not cutting any corners on that. That's exactly what it is. And what they want to do is, if they eliminate currency, like Dad and I talked about the other day, they eliminate the 100s, they eliminate the 50s, they give us all the small little incidental bills, you're not going to be able to go buy stuff cash. You're not going to be able to have any type of freedom. I mean, how are you going to go buy a $10,000 motorcycle in cash and $10 bills? Are you kidding me? You're going to come with a suitcase of $10 bills? And not only that, more and more people that keep their money in the bank will allow the Federal Reserve to pull their negative interest rates that they're going to start doing. I'm telling you guys, the bail-ins already happened over there in Italy. They already happened over there in Greece. It's going to happen here eventually. Keep your cash where it needs to be. Use the cash you need in your bank. Whatever you do, it's up to you. But I'm telling you, it's my advice. Do not leave massive amounts of cash in the bank. You're better off to convert them into silver and gold right now and keep them in a secure location than leaving a mass influx of cash just sitting in the bank, readily available to have negative interest rates tacked onto it.
Wow.
Well, Mom, I hope you enjoyed the show today. It was great having you on, as always.
Austin, I really enjoyed doing this show with you. I mean, I tell you what, you're amazing.
I appreciate it. Guys, thank you for listening. Our show today is brought to you by healthmasters.com. Give us a call or check out our website at healthmasters.com. Stay tuned for later on tonight. Dad, which is Ted Brower, I'm referring to, is going to be on the Hagman Show from 7 to, I think, 10 tonight.
10. 7 to 10,
yeah,
Eastern Standard Time.
7 to 10 live on the Hagman Show. Don't miss it. It's going to be a great show as always. You guys have a blessed weekend, and I will talk to you guys Monday.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded.